San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, April 11, 2021. Today's lesson is Sacred Quest with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome home to the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Home, where our heart is. Home, where we long to be. And yet, we are always simply home. So let us anchor ourselves as we do every Sunday in this infinite, eternal truth. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty. One indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so this morning, as we live and move and have our being in this wholeness, today we are going to look at sacred quests. Our theme for April is spiritual renewal. And so it kind of makes sense to say, what the heck is spiritual renewal? Well, the dictionary defines renewal as an instance of resuming something after an interruption. I call this resuming, even though the dictionary calls it renewal. But then I guess if it were an insurance policy, it would be a renewal. It also calls it the replacement or repair of something. And when something is renewed or restored or resurrected, it's never the same as it was before. It's never the same. So when we are renewing things in our lives, we can think about that old phrase, you can't step in the same river twice. Because the water is renewed through the flow. And so every time you go into the river, it's a new river. Every time we go into the depths of our heart and our soul, it is new since the last time we were there, even if it was only 10 minutes ago. Because we are constantly learning something new, experiencing something new. Renewing that which we already know. And next week for the Stream of Life, I have a new thought take that I'm going to do on a pretty famous biblical quote that in new thought, when we look at just the words, we say, ooh, no, we don't believe that. But when we look at what the meaning is and we change the words a little bit, we say, ah, I get it. That is a fundamental spiritual principle that is always true. So you want to be here next week when we talk about confessing our sins. So what is a quest? What is a quest? It's an act or an instance of seeking. It's a long search for something that may be difficult to find. You could have a quest for the meaning of life. Or you could be one of King Arthur's knights and be on a quest for the Holy Grail. And when we look at that historically, we say, was the Holy Grail really a physical thing? Or was that a sacred quest within? Because one of the things we know about quests is it's always about the journey. So we can say it's an act of instance or seeking. It's a pursuit. It's that chivalrous enterprise in medieval romance, involving an adventurous journey like the Holy Grail. But a quest is a long search for something that's difficult to find or to achieve. Nothing will stop people in their quest because it comes from deep within. On any given quest, what we are looking for, we are looking with. It is the seeking, the quest, the journey that shows us the absolute truth of this statement. Ernest Holmes is the founder of Religious Science and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And in the Science of Mind textbook, on page 33, paragraph 3, he says, "God is always God. No matter what our emotional storm or what our objective situation may be, there is always something hidden in the inner being that has never been violated. We may stumble, but always there is that eternal voice, forever whispering in our ear, that thing which causes the eternal quest, that thing which forever sings and sings." There is that place within us all that has never been violated. It is sacred. It is the thing that sustains us and gets us through violations of our outer person, place, thing. That core within, that inner knowing, that eternal voice. So this morning, are you ready to explore a sacred journey, a sacred quest? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Great. Then please place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today, I open myself to hear,
I open myself to hear
the whisper of the eternal voice.
The whisper of the eternal voice.
I am willing to be willing,
I am willing to be willing
to embrace my sacred quest.
To embrace my sacred quest.
And enter the secret place of the Most High.
And enter the secret place of the Most High.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So breathe that in. Breathe that in. And remember, we're willing to be willing. And that's enough. Because when we are willing to be willing, at some point we are willing to proceed. I have a story that I want to share with you. It's called Your Hidden Treasure, and it was written by Dieter Pawels. This is a story that underscores that we must undergo a spiritual transformation, a spiritual renewal, whenever we are on a sacred quest. In his book, The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho tells the story of a young man named Santiago who had a dream and the courage to follow it. In it, Santiago set out on a quest to search for a hidden treasure that leads him to the pyramids of Egypt. His convictions were continuously tested, but his persistence and courage won out. Through the trials he endured, by the end of this beautiful and inspirational story, Santiago discovered that the real treasure in life lies where your heart belongs. Santiago's courage helped him to realize that the real treasure was the journey itself. Together with all the knowledge he acquired and the discoveries he made along the way, we too are on a quest for hidden treasure in our lives. Many of us, though, get sidetracked by the glitz and glamour of material treasures. We fill ourselves up with things in an effort to comfort ourselves, live up to an idealized image, and or prove our self-worth. We fail to see the real treasure in our lives, our health, values, successes, failures, challenges, discipline, balance, fulfillment, etc. In order for the boy to reach his treasure, he must first learn to accept change, to value simplicity, to trust his experience of daily life over book knowledge. He must learn to live in the present moment, to read God's will in signs and omens, to listen to his heart, and to penetrate the soul of the world and the universal language through which it speaks. In other words, to attain this material treasure, Santiago must undergo a spiritual transformation, a process that parallels the alchemical transformation. So what are the important things in that story? The real treasure is the journey itself. The journey of awareness. The journey of transformation. We are always seeking and searching in our lives. Even if we never heard of a thing called God, if we never heard of a thing called religion, we would still be seeking for meaning in what is going on around us. We know that's true because before there was religion in pre-written history, the people were seeking. What is the meaning of the stars and the sky? What is the meaning of the winds and the waves? Why am I here? And that's the age-old question. Why am I here? To go right along with, who am I? Who am I to be here? And we know that we are the very essence of the divine in action. We are here because we are the divine, experiencing the divine creation. When we are on this quest for the hidden treasure in our lives, if we don't understand that it's a deeper meaning, a deeper quest, a deeper seeking, we try to fill up our lives with these external things. We get a new car. We get a new outfit. We listen to new music. We go to a new place, seeking satisfaction, seeking fulfillment. And none of these outside things will ever do it for us. If we go to a new place and we meet a new person, it's not the new place. It's the relationship with another member of the divine right here on earth. It's the relationship, not the meal, not the building, not the outside. It's all relationship. And our sacred quest is how we relate to ourselves, the divine, and each other. The divine within us is seeking to have a relationship with the divine within each and every other one. That's our quest. Union, understanding the oneness. So in the story, it says Santiago must first learn to accept change, to value simplicity, and to trust his experience of daily life over book knowledge. I have a lot of book knowledge. I really do. When I was a very young girl, we always went to summer school because it was fun. And we had a bookworm chart, a bookworm certificate. And if you read a certain number of books, every time you read a book, you would get like a little sticker to put on your bookworm so that when you completed the whole worm, then you had read however many books for the summer. And I loved that. And I would be finished with my bookworm within 2 weeks. And so I wanted multiple. And my mother said, no, that's not how it works. That would make all the other kids in summer school feel bad. But still, I was a voracious reader. And I still am. But to go out in life and have experiences that you can say, well, according to the book, I should be doing this, this should be going this way, that should be going that way. All of these things, step by step by step by step, should be drawn out in a nice engineering plan and go according to schedule and within budget. Life is not like that. Life is filled with everything and everyone that has free will. We all have free will. And so one of the things that we are learning in having to use what's going on in our daily life in these experiences instead of book learning is we are learning to accept. We are learning to honor change. We are learning that we have a relationship with everything and every occurrence. And so if we stand steady and say, I will not move, I will not break, there are too many things that can come by and break us. Even the trees, they move with the wind. And they do that. When they do that, they get stronger. The tree trunk grows stronger when it moves. We do too. When we are flexible, when we are able to navigate different things on our quest, we become stronger and we learn new things. We become more aware. We become spiritually renewed, spiritually transformed. That's why I like that story. This week in the 365 Science of Mind, we are following the 365 Science of Mind book through this year for our Sunday lessons. And for April 11th, the quote at the top of the page is from Ephesians 4:24. Ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Meaning we put on this humanity that is created in the image and likeness of God. So we need to remember that we're not just a mud pie. That mud pie of Adam, life was breathed into it, divine life. Divine life. And that is what animates everything. It says in 365 Science of Mind on page, I didn't write down the page number, sorry. In all the kingdom that exists, in all the planes that exist, and deep within the self, hidden and yet felt. There is a high priest ready to conduct us to the sacred and secret chamber of the self, where God and man are one. It says the search for union passes into the realization, not that we are just with or in, but that we are of God. One with or one in implies separation. The great realization is that we are of that which is. We are some part of it. We are a part of the divine. When we were formulating the 5-step spiritual mind treatment, God is all there is. I am one with God. I know and accept for myself. I realize. I give thanks. I release. I am one with God was the best we could do without misleading those who did not have the deeper understanding. Because if we say, I am one of God, then it makes it sound like we have multiple gods that each have their own little territories. No. When we say, I am one with God, we're recognizing the unity, the union, the wholeness. And in the deeper metaphysics, we understand I am one of that which God is. Not I am one of God, but I am one with and in and as and through and of all that is the divine. I've said many times, you know, when we know that the divine is infinite, the creator is infinite, that means there's nothing else. So everything that the creator creates has to be part of itself. Well, look at us. We're part of the creation. That means we have to be part of the divine. That same divine essence. That's what and who we are. In 365 Science of Mind, it says, many have found entrance to this door, the door to the sacred and secret chamber of self, to this door through deep spiritual meditation, some through high inspirational enlightenment, others just by sitting still and letting something happen to them, as symbolized by the descent of the Holy Ghost. Now in the Bible it talks about how the Holy Ghost came over and in tongues of fire became one in with the apostles, the disciples, and lifted them up in their awareness. If we truly, truly want to look at a nice analogy, we can say that each of us have within us that Holy Spirit. That's what our essence is. And we can use that terminology. The Holy Spirit is within us. One of the other ways that people have gone within and found entrance to this secret place of the Most High is using the labyrinth. And that's why we have the labyrinth icon on today's program insert. The labyrinth dates back thousands of years, and it was adopted from Greek culture by Christians in the first century following Christ's death as a tool for prayer. You can have a big labyrinth. We have in the past had Reverend Kathy Valentine bring her portable labyrinth in, and we all walked the labyrinth. It was plastic fold-up, and you put it down in the sanctuary floor, and everybody can walk around. They also have finger labyrinths. You can get a piece of paper with a print of a labyrinth on it and run your finger along the path. Or they have little wooden ones that are made that you can trace your finger along the little wooden ones. Labyrinths were also widely used in the great Gothic cathedrals of medieval Europe, the most famous being in Chartres, France, and that's the image that you have on your icon. It's laid out as a single path within concentric circles, and participants wind their way from the outside into the center and then back out again. And that path represents the journey of life at three different levels. First, the pilgrim moves toward the center through a variety of twists and turns, symbolic of the journey toward God, who exists at the center of all life. Next, the traveler waits and prays at the center in communion with God. Finally, the participant follows the maze out, representing a movement with God back into the world. And this type of ancient, symmetrical, circular labyrinth has become popular and has been found in modern churches throughout North America. The labyrinth is a sacred quest. Not just symbolically, but when we actually walk a labyrinth. We can use it to explore a deeper understanding of any circumstance or situation in our life, or we can use it simply to have a deeper relationship, go deeper within. Deeper relationship with the divine. Sri Aurobindo says, "The house of the divine is not closed to anyone who not." Let me say that again. "The house of the divine is not closed to any who knock sincerely at its gates, whatever their past stumbles and errors." And he's saying the same thing that Ernest Holmes is when he tells us that there is a high priest ready to conduct us to the sacred and secret chamber of the self where God and man are one. Same thing, slightly different words. It's the search for union that passes into the realization that we are one of God. The end, the aim, and the whole purpose of our study, of our sacred quest, is not at all for the salvation of the individual life, because life cannot be lost. And how many people say, "Oh, it's my salvation of my life. It's the saving of my life." Life, as we know it in New Thought, cannot be lost, ever. Because life is creation, and creation is life, and it is eternal, and it is infinite, and there is always more. Everything we can think of is creation in process. So our end, our aim, is for the discovery of the self, which the scripture tells us is hid with Christ in God. Our self is hid with Christ in God. The Christ consciousness, the Christ knowingness that is within each of us, as we open ourselves to realize this truth. that this divine essence, this anointed one, this one who speaks with the confidence of the divine, of the Creator, of the Father, that all that is spoken while knowing the absolute truth of the power that is carrying it out. And through that, the aim, the 365 says, the aim of our search is to discover that the universe is individualized in each one of us, and that individuality within each one of us has the possibility of expanding to the universalization of the self. Meaning, all of us are one. All of us. That thing that makes us alive is the same. And because there's no separation, the part that's in me and the part that's in each one of you is the same, and we are part of the same thing. It's like there is an invisible root system of spirit, and we are the blossoms. We look like we're separate, walking around, living in our own houses, doing our own thing, but we are simply the blossoms of the vine of life. Eric Fromm wrote, "The quest for certainty blocks the search for meaning. Uncertainty is the very condition to impel man to unfold his powers." Uncertainty is what moves us, is what drives us, is what inspires us. We can read about the sky, but until we go outside in the night sky, in the dark, and see the stars, it's not real. I mean, I can read about all kinds of things. I can read about ancient aliens. I can read about mystical, magical mushrooms. I can read about other planets, other star systems. But the real experience of it is what gives us that inner sense of knowing, that certainty. Yes, it does get dark at night. Yes, there are stars. Things that we can see, that we can feel, that we can experience. And that's our sacred quest. Anything that we are uncertain of drives us to seek greater meaning, to seek greater understanding on this sacred quest that we call life. So I thank you for your time, for your attention, for being willing to be willing to embrace your sacred quest, and for simply being present today. Namaste.